Ian. I'll be giving the message this morning. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father Lord, I just thank you for the morning. Lord, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning, Lord. And I thank you that you watch over us as we sleep and you refresh our spirits in the morning. I pray for refreshment for our congregation. I pray for encouragement in the word. And I just pray also that your spirit will go before us in this message, Lord, and go into our hearts, prepare us to receive and just to let your word sink deep into our spirits, Lord, that we may acknowledge and understand and live out your word in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sorry if you are hearing any children in the background. So let's turn to the passage in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 29. This is a passage which I think quite a few of us have read before, and there have been a lot of sermons preached on this passage, but I always feel it's such a good reminder. It's such an important passage. It's a passage spoken directly by Jesus, and it's a challenging passage, but it's also one where Jesus speaks out of love for us. So Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. So I think that there's quite a lot to unpack, and I think that many sermons have been written on this. You know, I think the main theme when I was praying through this verse, these verses, was the theme of the false sense of security that we Christians can sometimes have. And I think now is not the time to go into the likes of Rabbi Zacharias or any other Christian leader who has fallen, but it's really just to take a closer look at our own personal spiritual walk and spiritual journey. In particular, those of us who are even in positions of influence, authority, you know, we might be house church leaders, you know, we might be members of the board. You know, I'm not saying at all that these are bad things, but I think what I'm trying to get at is that these often can also be hindrances sometimes if we put too much weight in that position itself. And I think that verses like these always test me, and they always go to the root and the core and the spirit of man, rather than the outer appearance of holiness. And I think as Christians, we have that duty to keep asking ourselves and challenging ourselves. And these verses like these help me personally as well, just to keep asking myself, you know, what exactly, where am I exactly in the faith? And so maybe we can unpack these verses this morning a little bit more. It says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think that it's quite confusing because there are passages in the Bible that people often quote. For example, the passage in Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And, you know, we're doing Alpha this season, and it's very easy for people to say, just believe in Jesus, you know, just have faith in Jesus, call upon his name, and you'll be saved. And it often is simplified, overly simplified, that everyone who calls on the name of Lord, Lord, will be saved. It clearly isn't in this verse in Matthew. And actually, you know, if you read further in Romans 10:14, the immediate verse following after that, it actually goes on to say, how then can they call on the one in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one in whom they have not heard? So clearly, calling on the name of the Lord and just professing it with your lips, even though there are passages in the Bible that say that, is not enough, right? The most important thing is you have to also follow up with a true, genuine belief in who God is, right? And it says, you know, back to the passage in Matthew, it says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do many mighty works in your name? And often we also have this saying that, you know, you should look at a Christian by his or her fruits, right? And in other passages in the Bible, it says, for example, in John 14, verse 12, you know, Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. So oftentimes it can be confusing. You know, for readers of the scriptures, they'd be saying, this is clearly contradicting itself. You know, these are people who were casting out demons in Jesus' name. You know, they were professing the Christ, right? They were doing exactly the works that Jesus was doing. They were producing the fruits, right? They were showing all these great signs and miracles. And yet, you know, Jesus can turn to them and say, I never knew you. Worse still, he calls them evildoers or workers of lawlessness. And so it is confusing. On one hand, some scriptures say, call on the name of the Lord. A lot of Christians say, all you need is faith. It's not by works, it's by faith. And that's a whole other sermon in itself, you know. And I think the thing to remember is that even the devil knows the scriptures very well, right? I think we know that there are passages in scriptures where a demon-possessed man could quote scripture. In fact, it was the devil who quoted scripture to Jesus when the devil led Jesus into the wilderness, right? And so the devil, the enemy, knows scripture very well. So that translates to, even if a man, a woman, a human being could recite and could understand or could remember scripture or could read the Bible many times, it doesn't mean that they are a Christian, right? Belief, genuine belief is important. And I think that goes to the point about, you know, just knowing scripture or having a very powerful knowledge of scripture in itself can be often, sometimes, creating a false sense of security. Just a side joke, I know Pastor Jackie is online now, and his knowledge of the Bible is amazing. This is by no means a jab at him. I love him. And at the same time, it's also not meant to discourage you in any way from reading the Bible and knowing your Bible very, very well. It's a totally different point. But I think that the loving thing about this verse is Jesus is saying this really not to scare us. Jesus is saying this in a loving way. He is forewarning us. He's telling each and every one of us to be careful, because we are none of us is immune to being deceived. None of us is immune to being deceived, right? You know, and just to labor the point a little bit more, if I can, you know, in Acts 16:16, there was a girl with the spirit of divination, right? And this girl was actually was a slave, and she was a slave in the marketplace because she was able to tell the fortunes and everything, and so she was able to really prophesy. And you know, I think these were demonstrations of mighty works. But the amazing thing is that she recognized, that the Spirit of God was there. She recognized who Paul was, and Paul actually cast out that spirit of divination out of her. And so I think that, you know, what Jesus says in the passage in Matthew, and this is also really important and quite subtle, is when he declared back to the people, he said, "I will declare to them, I never knew you." Right? A lot of times we say, "But I know Jesus. You know, I'm a believer of Jesus. I know Jesus." Right? But there's a difference between "I know Jesus" and "Jesus knows me." Right? Demons know Jesus, who Jesus is. Right? But does Jesus know you? And I think sometimes we gloss over it, and we don't realize the importance of what it means when Jesus says, "I know you." And I think that translates to him being able to speak regularly into your life. It requires us on our part to really open ourselves up and to bring light into the darkest secrets that we may be holding, you know, the darkest sins that we may be harboring, that we don't want other people to know, that we try to cover it up with some kind of superficiality of who we are, a sense of holiness of who we are in front of our church members, but we are harboring some darker things which we're not allowing the light to come into. And it's this intimacy with Jesus that is so important. Maybe it's not even secret sin. Sometimes it's fears or insecurities, things that seem very harmless, right? That seem very human to have. I think we all have fear. I have so much anxiety sometimes. And sometimes the only place I go to and can go to is Jesus. And I just invite him in for to look into my life. And I know I don't have to be perfect, but I'm just saying, "Jesus, this is me. This is my mess. You know, help me. You know, I admit I am so insecure. I, despite the things that you have proven throughout my life, I still find it hard to fully trust you in this moment. I'm so sorry. I don't know what else I can do. You know, please help me. Please forgive me. Have mercy on me. Show grace towards me." You know, it's these times when we create that intimacy, and also the times when we can listen and hear Jesus speak to us. And again, I just want to say, you know, Jesus is not there. The reason why I can do this, the reason why we can go to Jesus in this kind of intimacy is because we know Jesus is never there to shame us. He is never there to shame us. He doesn't want to punish us. And I think that sometimes we don't reveal certain things, or we don't feel at ease going to Jesus with that intimacy because we feel ashamed. We feel that we're going to have some kind of punishment. And that's very normal in the secular world. We know that if we do something wrong at work, that sometimes there will be repercussions. And there are repercussions for our sins. But in the spiritual sense, right here, right now, and in the Bible, time and time again, Jesus was never, ever there to shame anyone. He was always replying lovingly, right? Except to the Pharisees and the scribes. But he was always there to really save us from our sins. And as strong as the word sin sounds, it's really pales in comparison to the love that Jesus is trying to show us, to that intimacy which he's trying to have with us. And so sometimes when we puff ourselves up as Christians, we forget the simplicity of that intimacy with Jesus. And sometimes when we go along in our Christian faith and we mature, all right, and we're asked to do things and serve and we rise to positions of influence, it can feel as if God has blessed us. It can feel as if God has trusted us with a lot of things. But at the same time, it's these verses in Matthew 7 that remind us to think and check ourselves whether we have this false sense of spiritual security and whether we need to really look deeper beyond the surface, because it can really creep up on us unknowingly. Further down in Matthew 7, verse 24, it talks about, it gives the analogy of building your house on the rock versus building your house on sand. And I think some of you have already heard this analogy, but, you know, building yourself on the rock is the rock represents Jesus, right? On the rock on which the church is built. And it's just a great imagery of an unchanging truth of the gospel. The gospel doesn't change with time. You know, the variations that we have today in the gospel, King James, ESV, NIV, the Message version, all that, they are different versions, but the message is exactly the same. It doesn't change. Compared to sand, you know, shifting sands, it's really talking about the shifting cultures that we have today. The cultures change, trends change all the time. Even religious trends change all the time. And we, as humans, constantly adapt ourselves. You know, we need to adapt ourselves in many ways. You know, we need to learn new skills. We need to be up to date sometimes with what's happening around us. And we adapt. That's how we were built. We are built to adapt, and we do shift in ways to the cultures around us. You know, we dress differently. We have different hairstyles and everything. And so outwardly, we might be, you know, changing and shifting the culture, but inwardly, I think that the scripture is asking us, where are you building your spiritual life? Where are you anchoring your soul? Are you anchoring your soul on the rock? Or are you anchoring your soul on the changing cultures of today in order to feel, in order to get your sense of security? And as simple as that sounds, it's actually the hardest thing to do. It's really the hardest thing to do. So sometimes just revisiting scripture like this is so refreshing. It's so refreshing for my soul. And I hope it's also refreshing for everyone else. You know, it says it's about not just about hearing the words of Jesus, but it's actually doing them. So Jesus says, you know, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do that will be a foolish man. Everyone who hears these words of mine but does not do them is a foolish man. So if you're listening to the EMP or the CMP this morning, that's great. But if you don't do and you don't live it out, it's kind of pointless as well. Right? It's a simple point. But sometimes it's so easy to forget. Sometimes it's so easy just to go along with the crowd, go along with what everyone else is doing, and also go along with what everyone else is telling you, what the culture and what society is probably portraying and telling you. Don't worry. You go to church all the time. You go to house church all the time. In fact, you even speak at CMP sometimes. You know the scriptures really well. So rest assured, you're fine, right? Nothing's wrong. Outwardly, you are a great person, you know. But it's really inwardly, where are you? And I would say this, that I think the one thing which does frighten me a bit about this verse is that it feels as if some of us could be spending a lifetime building up, right, this outward holiness, right? A lifetime building a house, right? I imagine it takes a long time for one person to build a house. And I think this analogy is amazing because it's talking about a house, you know, a lifetime perhaps, building a house, adding things into the house, adding the furniture, you know, spending time looking for the best trinkets to put in the house. You know, all this effort, right? No one is denying the effort, right? The effort is true. The effort is real. You might be serving your whole life. You might be a missionary, right? You might be a great evangelist even. Your whole life, right? You've spent so much time doing that. But if you've built it on sand, if you've built it on, let's say, the foundation of people's views and validation that you get from society rather than validation you get from Jesus, you know, it is terribly insecure. It is on terribly insecure foundation. Right? I think the one thing that sometimes does happen is by God's grace and by God's mercy. You know, it talks about the winds and the rain and the floods. By God's mercy, in my life especially, in everyone's life actually, by God's mercy, the rains and the floods, they don't just come at the very end of our life. The rains and the floods come every now and then. And every now and then we are faced with challenges. Every now and then we're going to be faced with a disappointment. Some of us will be faced with tragedy even, right? We're all faced with COVID-19. These are tests. Thank goodness they didn't come at the end of our life, perhaps some of these tests. Thank goodness that these tests come every now and then and they make us think. They make me think, you know, where am I? And they also reveal to me sometimes the infancy of my faith, right? They reveal to me how immature I am sometimes. And that's really by God's grace. That's really by God's grace that it makes me think again, you know, why am I doing what I'm doing? You know, am I building my life on the rock or am I building my life on sand? It sounds like an obvious question, but it really isn't all the time that obvious to me. And I never want to hear Jesus saying to me, I never knew you. And I never want all this, you know, labor to go to waste. I think it's legitimate for every one of us to seek fruits from our labor. We all want fruits from our labor, right? And so we all labor hard, you know. We are now slaves to Christ. And so we work for Jesus. And it's natural to want to see the fruits. It's natural to want to do the works and to desire the spiritual gifts. Don't get me wrong. Never, ever stop desiring the spiritual gifts of prophecy, of teaching, of administration, of hospitality, you know, of speaking in tongues. Never stop desiring them. It's just don't rely on them, right? Never stop desiring doing great works for God. Never stop desiring earnestly building your house, right? It's not saying don't build your house. It's just saying don't build your house on sand. So never stop that, but also never allow that to become your sense of security. Never allow that to blind you from the spiritual condition of your heart. And again, that goes back to the intimacy that you have with Jesus. You know, I've given this example quite a few times, and I apologize again if you have heard this from me before, you know, but, you know, two years ago, I was, listening to a sermon by a very renowned pastor, And the pastor said, you know, the reason why some of us never really hear from God or God doesn't speak to us is because we're not going to be willing to do what God tells us. And he knows that. And in his infinite mercy and wisdom, he chooses to be silent sometimes when we ask him and say, God, what is your will? Or God, what do you want me to do? Right? My point is not about that. My point is that my reaction to that at the time was to say, okay, God, maybe I'm going to prepare my heart. And so what I did was I took that afternoon, because we had to come back after that morning session of the sermon, to come back in the afternoon. And I was saying, you know, this time, God, what I'm going to take the afternoon, the morning session. I'm going to take that morning before the afternoon session to really pray and to really seek you and to really prepare my heart to say, God, I give it all to you. God, I'm ready. God, I'm listening. God, I'm going to do what you say. I don't care what it costs. I'm going to do it. Right? I'm going to do it. And so I came back that afternoon. I went before the altar at the end, at the altar call. And I said, God, here I am. I'm ready. I'm going to do it. I prepared my heart, prepared my spirit. Speak to me. I will do as you say. Right? And then, you know, you can imagine I was waiting for this glorious moment. I was waiting for these ground-shaking, life-changing instructions to come. And nothing came, as you can probably guess. Nothing came. For about a week, maybe two, nothing really came. And all that I really sensed at the end of the day from the Holy Spirit was for God to ask me to correct and to reveal a specific sin in my life at the time, which I had actually been hiding, right? And as time progressed, it became so crystal clear. God was just saying, it's okay. There isn't anything grand that I need you to do. In fact, I just want you to get that specific area of your life in order. And it was as simple as that. But I felt it in the strongest way. And I did it. I think I was obedient to God. I didn't have to be, I didn't have to ship my family off and myself to Zimbabwe or to Africa or to Mongolia. All I needed to do was to stay put, you know, look into my heart, allow that intimacy with God and for God to speak into my life and reveal what it was that I wasn't basing my spiritual life on, which was secure. And thank God for that. Thank God for that. And so really, I think that's just the example of how it could really be sometimes myself feeling too good about myself, that I would be worthy of that amazing calling, that I would want to do all these works and that I would be able to do them. But God is just saying, you know, hold on. There is something else, which is just more fundamental. There is something else I want to deal with in your heart, right? And he just brings me back gently. It was so gentle, but it was so firm at the same time. And I recognized that voice of God in my life. And so I think, you know, just ending this message here, the end with the theme of, you know, is there a false sense of security in your life? Are you holding on to something else? Which is, you know, which is your crutch? Or are you really allowing God to speak into your life and allowing God to examine you and also allowing yourself to be yielded to His Spirit's guiding? And so, you know, as Pastor Ernie leads us in worship and prayer, you know, my prayer for every one of us is that as many times as we can hear these passages in scriptures, as many times as we can hear sermons on this, I just pray that it becomes our lifelong activity, our lifelong kind of habit to continually challenge ourselves, continually allow God to gently steer us back into that direction and that peace that we have with God, you know, the peace that comes from the rock, the peace that doesn't come from shifting cultural trends, And to know that it is really the Holy Spirit that reveals these things to us. And so, Lord, I just pray for everyone here. I pray for your shalom, peace, to just envelop your spirits, to envelop their minds and their bodies, Lord. And I just pray that as your Spirit searches the hearts of men, that you gently reveal to us as well the areas in our life, you know, where we're not completely aligned with you, the areas in our life that we haven't got completely in order, because we just want to make sure that you know us. We just want to bear it all before you, and we just want to live our life and build our life on that solid rock in Jesus. Lord, we love you. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, to your standing face to face, I look upon your countenance, see the fullness of your grace. And I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. As I come into your presence, past the gates of into your sanctuary, to a standing face to face, I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace, and I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. Awesome in this place, mighty. You are awesome. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, oh Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you lives raised. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Amen. Amen. You are awesome, Lord. Let's just turn our attention to our prayer, our community prayer. Let's pray for, our friends, friends who are suffering from cancer, going through chemo and cancer therapy, and surgery. Let's just pray for them this morning. Also, to pray for those of us who are also suffering from other forms of illnesses. We also pray specifically for salvation and for these people, Lord. Also want to remember and also pray for those of us who might be suffering from other forms of physical infirmities. Lord, we just pray that these will leave, and any of these infirmities which are caused by the devil, Lord, we command them to leave these people's bodies in the name of Jesus, and pray for restoration. Also turn to people who are looking for jobs and looking for provision in this time. We just pray, God, that you'll provide for them in your amazing way. Pray that, Lord, that they will remember that hoping in you, that they will never be put to shame. Just pray for their spirits, God, in this time of provision. Thank you. So just want to go to our mission field. We pray for SP New York. We pray for our leaders there, Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. We will continue to always pray and be sensitive to the Spirit's guiding on the open doors for ministry in North Korea and for other opportunities to serve in Asia. We remember our brothers and sisters that are persecuted in the Middle East. And we just pray for them. We pray for your Spirit just to cover over them and to cover them, allow them to speak with power and authority. Lord, and just be with them in this time. We also pray for the weekend gatherings that will be happening, the Sunday service tomorrow. Yeah, we just pray, God, that those of us who are able to come to service tomorrow will truly be blessed through just being around physically our brothers and sisters and worshiping you there. We just pray for an anointing over the message and also for that same anointing to flow through from the video screen to those of us watching from home. We pray for the well, for refreshment and for dealing with things that are sometimes unseen. And I pray for SP Kids, worship, hospitality, all that just makes the whole experience for us something so refreshing, Lord. We just pray and thank you for this team. Pray for SPU, pray for spin and spill services and activities that will follow afterwards. Lord, although these may be the things that routine, we pray that our spirits will never be routined to these things and that we will always be alert and be grateful for all this. I pray for the migrant worker classes. We also pray for the word classes. Pray for the TMC and as well as all the other meetings that will be happening at church. And for Alpha, today is actually the retreat, and with the topic of the Holy Spirit will be preached, will be taught. We pray that this is a time for our guests. A lot of us will be actually be meeting in person for the first time. We just pray, God, that you will just infuse us with a sense of love, a sense of care. You will give us the bracelet of hospitality, just to love on our guests, Lord. That it is through knowing and feeling your love that they come to know who you are, Lord. Pray for protection as well over ourselves as volunteers, as we minister to these guests, Lord. And we just pray for your covering over this. Last but not least, we pray for our city, Hong Kong. We pray for our home. We ask you, Lord, just to have mercy on this place, Lord, and that your grace will come. Lord, that you will alleviate the aches of the city, Lord, as we battle COVID. And God, I also just ask for unity in this time amongst our brothers and sisters in the church. That we will come together and we will really band together in blessing Hong Kong and the people around us. So thank you for listening to EMP. Bless your day and may you enjoy your weekend. Thanks very much. Bye.